Hey guys, and welcome to the show. We're going to get into your wrestling nostalgia today, which is really a fun one. One that I had forgotten, but kind of topical given the participants involved. And that is the Battle of the Billionaires that took place at WrestleMania 23 with Trump versus McMahon. We're going to get to that. And don't forget, Stone Cold is the special guest referee, which made it a whole lot of fun. So we're going to get into WrestleMania 23 with the Battle of the Billionaires right after this. Beastad is the lifestyle podcast for new and expectant fathers. While most dad content is focused on parenting, Beastad is about you. Hosted by dads Mike and Nick, rookie dad and veteran dad, Beastad explores life as a dad with emphasis on the Beastad pillars: fitness, new experiences, social life, career, and personal growth. Each episode, Beastad will focus on a new topic, exploring tools and strategies to increase quality of life for dads and the people that they take care of. You can listen at Beastad.com, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most podcast apps. Again, it's Beastad, all one word. Check them out today.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era. To the reality era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. A lot of fun. Really, really fun show for all of you today, and for myself too. The Battle of the Billionaires. WrestleMania 23. You guys remember that? Were you a wrestling fan back in 2007? Or was this before your time? I imagine that the most of my audience listening probably remembers this. But if you don't, I always recommend that my wrestling nostalgia matches, you go back and watch. Not necessarily because of the quality, but all of the pieces that go together and into it, and the hype that goes into it. Now, I don't think, and I'm not blind enough to believe, that this match was a five-star match between Bobby Lashley and Umaga. It wasn't. This is just one of those kind of nostalgic moments that takes me back to a time, right? I mean, it is a time in wrestling history, which is why you're listening to this show, but it's also a time that brings you back to some part of your life. I mean, wrestling is just inherently connected to your life. It brings you back to moments in wrestling, but it also makes you remember where you were when you watched these things. And I don't think that many people probably look at Umaga versus Bobby Lashley in the Battle of the Billionaires as one of the favorite WrestleMania moments of all time. I know that. And this is probably not one of the most popular shows I've done, but it is certainly, I think, worth mentioning. First and foremost, because, well, Donald Trump was in this match, so to speak. He wasn't actually wrestling, but he got a little bit physical and then ended up getting a move performed on him at the end of the match, and we'll get to that. We'll get to that for sure towards the end of the show. But it brought in who is now obviously the president of the United States, and Donald Trump, which is just crazy to think, right? That he was involved in this, and now he's running the country. But now you also have Vince McMahon on the other side of this, and it was focused around two guys that really just kind of drew up a rivalry for really no apparent reason. And the babyface in this match was Donald Trump, at least on paper. Vince McMahon was playing the heel, as he oftentimes does, especially at WrestleMania. And since Vince and Donald Trump can't have a match, I mean, my God, imagine that, they had to pick representatives to fight on their behalf. And so Vince McMahon chose Umaga, and Donald Trump chose Bobby Lashley. Now, it's also kind of topical because you have Bobby Lashley this Sunday challenging for the WWE Championship, first time in his career. And from what I remember with Bobby Lashley, this seemed to be, at WrestleMania 23, the high point of his career. And since that time, I don't have a whole lot of memories of Bobby Lashley beyond this moment. After this moment. He went on to become ECW champion. I remember that in the defunct, terrible WWE version of ECW. And was ECW champion for, like, it seemed ever. And then he left the company and he came back a few years ago. And now, this coming Sunday, Bobby Lashley gets to write the biggest chapter of his career in a WWE Championship match. So it's kind of, I think, topical because of Donald Trump, because of Bobby Lashley and where those two individuals are now, and Stone Cold Steve Austin as the special guest referee. So that certainly adds a lot of intrigue into this match. You know, what's he going to do? Who's he going to stun? That's always the question at WrestleMania. It's also awesome to see and hear a crowd. It just, isn't it? Well, I'm telling you, whenever this lockdown is really just lifted among most of the United States, and people are allowed to be within 6 feet of each other, and there's no stupid masks, and I know they do certainly help mitigate the spread of the virus, I get it, but when you go to a wrestling event, what are you going to do? Have people wearing masks, yelling? It's not a good visual, and I think that it just is not true wrestling back in what we want to see it as. So what I'm telling you, well, whenever this happens, it's going to be a big deal. I think ratings are going to be spiked probably in the short term, just to see and feel what WWE is going to do with their first show back with true fans. Whatever this is, again, I don't know when this is going to be. I would assume sometime over the summer, maybe late summer, early fall. That's my guess on how everything's going and phased reopening and everything else. But boy, it's so refreshing, and I can't wait to see the current product in front of fans that finally get to react to WWE's really just unpoliced system or unpoliced programming that they've been able to put on without having a fan reaction there to worry about that it's not going to match up with what they want it to. They have their robot-controlled NXT trainees out there who are going to do whatever WWE tells them to do, which means cheer for the babyface, boo the heel, right? I mean, so that's going to happen. These robots will continue. And to be totally honest, I know I'm calling them robots, but it is a better presentation. Anytime there's a crowd reaction, even if it's a very controlled type of reaction, it just feels better, and I totally fully support the NXT trainees being there. So with that said, though, before we get into WrestleMania 23 back in April of 2007, yeah, think about where you were there, right? Put yourself back in your shoes of 07. I'll let you know where I was. Not that you particularly care. I'm not going to get too personal, but I'll share that in a moment of where I was, what I was doing, and who I was with. And also, before we get into that, I do have a question that was sent to my email, and it's from Greg, and he says, again, this is not about the wrestling nostalgia, but I do want to answer it before I get into the show. He says, hey Matt, in your Raw review this week, you mentioned how Aleister's involvement in the Seth Rey storyline is setting him up for Seth's next opponent, and I was thinking the same thing. Did you notice on this week's Raw how they had Aleister laying face down on the mat with his hand out, clearly showing the word hero on his knuckle tattoos? They flashed between his hero tattoos and a close-up of Seth's, I can't say his name today, angry face a couple of times. And if they were subliminally letting us know, as if they were subliminally letting us know that Aleister is a babyface. I thought it was kind of interesting, so I thought I'd share that with you. I think since they've dragged their feet with declaring his character as face or heel, they're subliminally letting us know that we should get ready to cheer Aleister. Take care. So thanks, Greg, for the question. So a couple of pieces to this. I did notice that, but I didn't remember to mention it on air. So thank you for bringing it up. I forgot to bring this piece of it up. I did notice it because it was there in your face. So I think you're right, subliminally or I guess, in a kind of a conscious, soft conscious way, they are trying to let us know, hey, babyface, or this is your hero, cheer him. It could be. I believe that Aleister Black kind of by default has been the babyface. Again, as you said, he hasn't really had a path. He's just been kind of floundering around for a while. And he's having really good matches. He's one of those guys that WWE knows they can plug and play with. I mean, a lot of guys on the roster are like that, though. I mean, you have Murphy. You have Dolph Ziggler, who they know they can do that with. They have Aleister Black. You have now emerging Austin Theory. I mean, you name it. There's so much athleticism on today's roster. It's almost a plug and play with a good chunk of the roster. I mean, that's a huge compliment. But yeah, I don't think they know what to do with Aleister. And it could have been a clear message, or it could have been inadvertent. And I'm not sure what it was. I tend to give WWE not the benefit of the doubt because they very rarely pay attention to detail. So it could be because of how many times they did it, and I'll have to go back and watch it. But the fact that Aleister Black has had no mic time, no character development, and nothing except inside the ring, which he's great, but we need something more to grasp onto. Yeah, I mean, I think, again, people are kind of cheering for him by default because of who he's facing. Because they know they don't like Seth. They don't know a whole lot about Aleister, but they're going to cheer for the guy that they know they... Or boo the guy they know they don't like. So by default, they're cheering Aleister Black. And he hasn't done anything dastardly. He doesn't try to cheat to win. So he's kind of a very... He's a babyface, but only because of the people he's facing and how he performs in the ring. So outside of that, yeah. Thanks for the question, Greg. Appreciate it, and thanks for listening. All right, well, let's kind of move on here and let you know that this show, if you haven't joined us before, is available 7 times a week. Doesn't mean we have a show every day. When I say 7 times, oh, it's once a day. No, because sometimes I drop 2 shows in one day, which will be the case this coming week, because tomorrow is your AEW and NXT podcast reviews. And then on Saturday, 2 more shows come to you, which is the SmackDown review with Jeff Martin and Brian Berga. So looking forward to that. And on Saturday as well, the second show that's going to be airing is later in the evening, probably late evening, 10, 11 o'clock Eastern time at night, is the official Backlash preview prediction show, of which I am locating a co-host as we speak. I have somebody in mind I think I'm going to bring on, and hopefully that individual accepts, and we can have a full Backlash preview show. I think it's going to be a blast. And really, as I said on yesterday's show, I'm really looking forward to Backlash. I think that there's a lot of potential there. They seem to be progressing in storylines nicely. There's a lot of first-time matchups and things that are building, and I'm excited. I really am. I think Backlash, could be a very good show. A very good show, and I'm looking forward to it much, much more than Money in the Bank, because y'all know what I think about Money in the Bank. Outside of that, you guys can hit me up on email at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Twitter's still down for me. And head on over to the website at wwepodcast.com. I am looking to do much more with the website. I have continued to say this, and I continue to try to find time to do this. But just so you know where I'm at, I didn't forget about being able to implement more video, which my current living situation is a little bit hard to do. My background would be children's toys and things. I don't have a real dedicated office. I'm in the process of possibly moving to a house. So, hey, things could be changing. And I'm trying to get a professional looking background. I'm not going to have Paw Patrol in the background, or Elmo sitting on a shelf. I want to make sure that it's a professional looking background. So I'm going to try to maybe do something makeshift in the next month or two, and do a little bit of video recaps or video quick hits or something like that. Just so it kind of changes things up. I know video is kind of the way of the world right now. So the podcast should be expanding in a little bit better way to include some video on my website, and maybe on Patreon as well. If you want an ad-free experience too, head on over there and search WWE Podcast. Entire library, by the way, $1 for the entire library completely ad-free. None of those annoying skip-forward ads or anything like that. It's really streamlined. But just wanted to let you know, I am looking into video, and it's something that I'm excited to really venture into. The thing is, my computer, my laptop, also isn't exactly, like, you know, super high-performing, so doing video editing is kind of a pain in the backside. So I'm also looking at investing in that. So lots of upgrades that should be happening here in the coming months. Excited to get that rolling. And hey, maybe my Twitter will be back up by the time I get that going too. I'm going to continue to complain about it. It's a pain in the neck. Okay. With all that said, so we head back to 2007. We head back to 2007 in April, WrestleMania 23. What were you doing? Where were you in the year 2007? I want you to kind of put yourself there. Maybe you were watching the show. Maybe you weren't. But if you were, try to remember where you were, who you were with, right? What match were you excited for? How old were you? That kind of thing. I think it's nice to put yourself in that mindset to go back to think where you were to try to relive the emotions. And we're going to get to some audio too. So that's also a good thing, I think, to listen to the audio and relive some of it. And so my quick thing, I was down in Myrtle Beach with a friend and a couple of his friends at his apartment down in Myrtle Beach, one of my favorite places of all time. If you haven't gone there, it's a blast down in Myrtle Beach, whether you have family or whether you're looking to have just kind of party and have a good time. It's really encompassing of all age groups. Myrtle Beach is near and dear to my heart. So with that said, though, yeah, I was with one of my close friends and a couple of his friends that I wasn't really close with watching WrestleMania 23 in an apartment, and it was a lot of fun. On a big screen, which back in 2007, I think a big screen was like when they had plasmas coming out and you had to worry about images burning into the actual picture of your TV, and you had to make sure it didn't overheat, and they were just basically electricity guzzlers. That's what they really were. Expensive as hell. And the plasma TVs at first were extremely thick and heavy. And so that's, I believe, what we watched it on. And I thought it was a great picture compared to like the TVs we have today. So 13 years ago certainly feels like a lifetime. And so that's where I was and watching it in a living room on a TV. But enough of that. Let's get to the audio. And this is Vince McMahon coming out at first and introduces his representative, Umaga.
The bald billionaire, whoever that may be. Look at Vince McMahon. Look at that smile. The man that created WrestleMania could be humiliated at his own creation. But not if this carnivore has anything to say about it.
Representing Mr. McMahon from the Isle of Samoa, weighing in at 350 pounds, he is the Intercontinental Champion, Umaga!
On a weekend where the Wild Samoans were inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, could that perhaps be an omen as far as Umaga, the Samoan bulldozer, representing Mr. McMahon?
Well, Mr. McMahon bought the best. And you can tell by the smile on Mr. McMahon's face, he's happy about it. Thinking of Mr. McMahon's smile, Darren, you know that he's so rich.
All right, so that's enough of that. We got a little bit of Umaga there, and boy, I haven't heard that music in so long. Umaga's music, and obviously JR and King at ringside, does it get any better as far as announce team goes? God almighty. And interestingly, Umaga was Intercontinental Champion at the time. Of which this was not an Intercontinental Championship match, which tells you the positioning of the belt at that time. Umaga certainly, though, was a formidable force. I believe that John Cena was the one to finally beat him. Umaga, Rosie, as he was part of 3-Minute Warning with Eric Bischoff a number of years earlier, is no longer with us. He died, so that's, you know, it's obviously sad, Armando Estrada. Does that name ring a bell? Armando Estrada. Such a great manager with Umaga. I mean, he was a very, very silver-tongued devil, as Stone Cold would say. He was a silver-tongued devil. and is really kind of a nice parallel to what Bobby Lashley has now with MVP. And so Armando Estrada was just such a great manager and really reminds you how great managers can be. It's such a lost art in 2020. And MVP, that's why I love MVP right now, because, and Zelina Vega, to her credit, I've given her much praise on this show. I love her work, and it's a shame they haven't given her more time on the air lately, but seems like kind of goes in cycles, doesn't it? But now we have MVP, who's taking control of Bobby Lashley's career, and this is what Armando Estrada did for I was going to say Rosie, but for Umaga. All right, and now on the flip side, here comes Donald Trump. Gosh, I mean, if you don't like Donald Trump, and I'm going to keep my political thoughts to myself, but if you don't like Donald Trump, you are really not going to like this match. Just say that. And his strut out to the ring, the face that he has on. And it's interesting because, you know, you have Donald Trump walking out there with Miss USA and all of the allegations of him and talking about, you know, it's basically some derogatory comments towards women that was very prevalent throughout his campaign in 2016 that came to light. And he also drops a bunch of money every time he comes out. Like, literally money falls from the sky. And I'm sure that's not actually Donald Trump's money. It's clearly Vince McMahon's own money that he's dropping. And it's real dollar bills. I mean, there was some dollar, $1, $5, $10. They had some woman with a $100 bill, like lots of money falling from the sky. And it's interesting that they were so desperate to make sure Donald Trump didn't get booed that they are literally trying to buy fans into liking Donald Trump, knowing at least they're for an external reason that they're going to get money and that potentially get money as Donald Trump makes his way out. I mean, it's does it get any more superficial than that? And I didn't hear any boos for Donald Trump. It was kind of like nothing. It was just kind of a nothing reaction. I think the money, literally the real money falling from the rafters, was at least enough to neutralize potential boos for Donald Trump. He's not a very easily likable guy on pro wrestling TV. Okay, we could argue on regular TV, right? I'm not getting political. I'm talking about pro wrestling. The way he came across in WWE, he did not come across very likable. I remember kind of like, I guess squinting or cringing, I guess is the better word, every time he would speak. We've certainly had worse, right? We've certainly had worse people on the show that were just clearly not all in, and it was an act, and they're playing, you know, like they feel like they're bigger than the moment, and they are not all in, and they're just kind of playing a part. And Donald at times did feel that way. And he's just not a likable guy in WWE. The way the presentation is, you throw him into this and it's just, you know, outside of literally throwing money at people every time he walks out, he was going to get booed. And at least the money was enough to neutralize it, not put it in the green in terms of, you know, a positive reaction. The needle didn't move to green, but at least it stayed neutral. So that was really just shows you the desperation that they had to make sure Donald Trump didn't get booed. So, all right. And, of course, after Donald Trump made his entrance with Miss former Miss USA, we get the guest. Well, no, I'm sorry. We get Bobby Lashley's entrance, which, by the way, Bobby Lashley looks the exact same today. it's almost as if he was in a cryogenic chamber. I mean, you should see it. He has not changed at all. So, all right. Well, we get to Bobby Lashley, and then it gets a little more interesting with a special guest referee.
Something to deal with.
So then we get Stone Cold coming out, and that was really the pop of the whole night, and he's not even an active competitor.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
There's nothing like a great cup of coffee. And Nautical Star Coffee carry delicious coffee in their online store. It tastes amazing, and it's made fresh to order. Located in North Carolina, Nautical Star Coffee wants to be your go-to online coffee store. Like you, they were tired of the same old mediocre coffee that cost a fortune but had little flavor to show for it. At Nautical Star Coffee, there's no minimum purchase required. Sometimes you just want one bag of coffee, and that's fine with them. Their coffee is roasted, bagged, and shipped at the time of your order to ensure freshness. They search for the best coffee blends from Honduras, Colombia, and Costa Rica to give you the greatest cup of coffee. They're also veteran-owned and operated and truly value your coffee needs. If you want the coffee labeled with your own logo, let them know. They can do that for you. Perfect for restaurants that want to have their own coffee brand and great for your local company or small business, too. Start shopping right now at nauticalstarcoffee.com. That's nauticalstarcoffee.com.
Beastad is the lifestyle podcast for new and expectant fathers. While most dad content is focused on parenting, Beastad is about you. Hosted by dads Mike and Nick, rookie dad and veteran dad, Beastad explores life as a dad with emphasis on the Beastad pillars: fitness, new experiences, social life, career, and personal growth. Each episode, Beastad will focus on a new topic, exploring tools and strategies to increase quality of life for dads and the people that they take care of. You can listen at Beastad.com on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most podcast apps. Again, it's Beastad, all one word. Check them out today.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
But this was Umaga, and it was Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley was actually the ECW World Heavyweight Champion in this match. I didn't know that until his entrance, by the way. So he was actually already the ECW champion, of which meant a little to nothing, because ECW was defunct long before WWE tried to resurrect it with their own powers. So this match was, you know, the match overall, I think, was okay. The match delivered from, I think, a perspective of, and really the lens of, could this have been any better with these two competitors with the limitations that they have or limitations they don't have? I think that it probably was. And, you know, this was really about Trump and McMahon. It was not so much about building Bobby Lashley, because it really didn't. And honestly, Umaga, who had been making rounds through and tearing, bulldozing through the WWE roster, was grinded to a halt here. And Umaga certainly didn't get any favors done from this. And yeah, Bobby Lashley ended up getting the victory, as we'll see. I don't think I'm spoiling it for anybody. But it was a bit of a tainted victory. So let's listen to some of the audio here. And, you know, Donald Trump on the outside, acting as if he's interested in who wins this match and trying to encourage Bobby Lashley is sorry, it's embarrassing. I mean, his fake chants or his fake comments just have nothing behind them. They're just words. There's no emotion behind it. It's just very robotic by Donald Trump. And listen to it for yourself. Let's see if I can find the audio here. I'm going to try to go back as we listen to Donald Trump, who is suddenly very concerned about Bobby Lashley, telling him to, quote, shake it off.
Shake it off, Bobby. Come on.
Donald Trump trying to motivate Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley has
some very strong established motivational skills, no doubt about that. And the art of the deal may be going out of print here, because Imada is the law of the strength. The raw power of the first ever ECW. Oh, good Lord, Imada turned inside out.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, you can hear Donald Trump right there. He's like, come on, Bobby, shake it off. I mean, we oh, good God. So this match continues, and inevitably, you know that something's going to happen with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And, well, I mean, sure enough, it does. And well, let's take a listen.
Came down to check on his dad.
And Umaga just blasted the rattlesnake with that spike. Now look at Shane. Look at Shane.
Yeah, well, Bobby Lashley in a disadvantageous.
Look at Shane. Looks like Thomas hit me in hurts here.
Oh. Lashley, look at the eyes of Lashley. And Umaga, with no referee, also got the Samoan spike. Austin is out outside the ring.
So I'll pause it there and we'll get to it in a minute here. So Shane comes out, distracts Austin after Austin was literally tearing at the face of Umaga to break the five count on Lashley in the corner. And it was just enough of a distraction from Shane for Umaga to hit the Samoan spike on Stone Cold, who's now down. Shane comes in and attacks Bobby Lashley. And you know, at some point that Austin is going to get his revenge, and it's a fun thing to see. And yes, Shane McMahon ends up going coast to coast here on Bobby Lashley, and well, let's listen to see what happens next.
Shane McMahon, my referee, sir.
What is this?
What is this? It's right. It's collusion. It's insider trading. Shane McMahon.
Oh, JR, you got to hand it to Mr. McMahon. He's a genius.
I got something to hand him, all
He's
right.
He's a billionaire genius.
All right, now Umaga. Lashley is defenseless. Lashley is helpless. And
Lashley is flattened.
And now the count is academic. There's the count.
Goodbye, Donald.
Austin's out.
Wait a minute.
Right hands. And Shane McMahon just got introduced to the steel ring steps.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Oh, he catches another strike.
And another straight right to the throat, right to the neck of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What's going on over here?
Donald Trump is getting
Did you hear that? Like, Donald Trump has got his hair on the line in front of 80,000 people. And Austin, I mean, it's just terrible acting. Like, just watch. I wish you guys could see this. Donald Trump is on the outside, right? And he is, you heard what he said. He goes, what's going on here? In the most, like, lackadaisical way, as if he has no clue about how pro wrestling works, or that if he is in a world of pro wrestling, that he's doing an awful job of portraying a true, like, real emotion to care about what's going on. I mean, he is got to be one of the worst actors of all time. it's just, oh God, you guys have to see that part of it. When Austin gets attacked for the second time by Umaga. So let's listen to part two here with Donald Trump invoking his physical prowess. Okay, so a couple things going on here that you guys can't really see is, so Austin was going to get a third Samoan spike, of which, before that, Donald Trump tackles Vince McMahon on the outside with some of the worst, slowest punches you'll ever see in your entire life. Donald Trump was never, in this life or a former life, any kind of combat athlete. It's some of the worst you'll ever see. I mean, it wasn't Linda McMahon taking a stunner bad, but it was pretty bad. But again, what can you expect from a guy that has nothing to do with this world? And I mean, it probably is what it is. I probably shouldn't trash it as much as I can, because what do you expect? At least the punches were hidden from the camera. I mean, they at least had their backs to the camera, so you couldn't see how awful the punches were. Nonetheless, after that, Donald Trump goes back to his corner, and Austin's about to receive a third Samoan spike from Umaga, of which he ducks and hits a stunner on Umaga, and then gets speared by Bobby Lashley for the three count. Now, a couple things. Bobby Lashley gets the victory. Kind of a tainted victory, don't you think, though? Because, yeah, Shane interfered, but Austin hit the stunner, and then Bobby hit the spear. So it's kind of a tainted victory because he already got stunned. So it's like he got two finishers, very low chance of kicking out. So there's a little bit of a tainted win there for Bobby Lashley. But secondly, you had Austin hit the stunner, you had Lashley hit the spear, Austin's the referee, he goes down to do the three count, but on his way down, his arm hit the mat, and it wasn't an intentional start of the three count, but the way that he came down initially to do the count was kind of an inadvertent one count, and it wasn't supposed to be. And you could tell because Austin came down and he did 1, 2, 3, but at 2, the bell rang. And it wasn't supposed to, because Austin technically didn't do a one count until he came down. He hit the mat, which everyone assumed to be the first, like, 1, 2, 3, but it's hard to explain unless you see it. But clearly it's a bit of a mix-up. They hit the bell at 2. When it really was one. Just take a watch of that. It's hard to explain without you seeing it. But we get the victory. The realization that Vince McMahon's going to lose his hair has now bestowed upon Vince. It has hit him like a ton of bricks. We have Donald Trump acting, you know, like hysterical. It's just kind of embarrassing. But Vince gets put in a chair, held down by Bobby Lashley, held down by Stone Cold, held down by Donald Trump himself. And then we get something unexpected. And actually, I wasn't sure if we'd see it. I really wasn't sure if we'd see it. But let's take a listen to what happens next.
You ever notice how big Mr. McMahon's ears are?
Not big, your heart.
You see how big Mr. McMahon's ears are?
Hey! Oh, Austin! Austin's done the Donald!
What?
Stone Cold just stunned him! Good God Almighty! What a WrestleMania! Stone Cold just stunned Donald Trump! What a lawsuit that's gonna be! You can't stun Donald Trump! I bet Trump's ex-wives are doing cartwheels! stunner than alimony. A stunner on the Donald from the Rattlesnake. That's a real hostile takeover.
Oh, my God.
Look, every hair is still in place.
Stone Cold Steve Austin has put an indelible imprint, a Rattlesnake imprint, on WrestleMania 23 and did every single thing that he said he was going to do.
Well, let's check this out one more time.
They do a replay here, but so what happens is, you heard it, Donald Trump gets a stunner at the end of the match, and again, you know, it's very easy to trash this and to say how terrible it was. It was definitely on the top, I'd say top, you know, five worst stunners ever taken. Vince has taken some bad ones, as many as he's good ones as he's taken. He's taken some really weird ones. There's been a couple of, I believe Tim White, when Austin back in the early or late 90s was stunning referees, it was during the higher power angle. And he came out on Sunday Night Heat and stunned everybody, and including referees, the commissioner. I mean, you name it, anybody, ring announcers, everyone at ringside basically got a stunner. And Tim White didn't even go down. Austin basically just stunned the air, and then Tim White fell. I mean, that was probably the worst one I've ever seen, followed closely, very closely, by Linda McMahon. She's probably number two during the Raw homecoming in 2005 back to the USA Network. She took probably the worst stunner in terms of the McMahons, easily took the worst stunner. And then probably Donald Trump. I mean, it wasn't pretty, but he at least, he did the right thing. He was just a little slow in taking it. So Austin probably should have slowed down the stunner a bit instead of hitting it so quickly. But, you know, hey, I give him credit for at least taking the stunner. It was memorable. It's cool if you're Austin to say you stunned the president of the United States. It was a fun moment. I was laughing because of how bad the stunner was, but I was also laughing because of how ridiculous it is that Donald Trump just got stunned, and Jim Ross's comments about his ex-wives doing cartwheels, hilarious. And Jim Ross has got some great one-liners. I mean, sometimes he's wittier than the king. So, props to everybody in that. And it was memorable from, yeah, Vince lost his hair. And, we all remember that. And it was actually kind of fun with Vince in the coming weeks, just really denying that he got his head shaved and coming out with, you know, wigs on and a hat on or a do-rag on and that kind of thing. So it was fun for a while where he didn't expose his bald head because people wanted to see it, but he kept covering it up, and it was pretty funny. It was like when Kurt Angle got his head shaved and he wore like amateur wrestling headgear with hair taped on it. It was pretty funny for Vince. He even wore like a, I remember he wore, what the heck was it? Like a little top hat or something, some ridiculous thing. But so they did play it up, but it was memorable for the stunner and Donald Trump. That's a big thing. As bad as the stunner was, it was pretty cool to see. And, you have two top guys, Umaga and Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley more of an up-and-comer. And Bobby Lashley goes over and then goes nowhere. I mean, he went nowhere from that match. I mean, I don't remember anything significant, as I said, beyond him being ECW World Champion and being in that moment. Now you fast forward 13 years later, and I can't believe he's getting his first chance at the WWE Championship. You know, and when you think about the logic of this, it took 13 years for Bobby Lashley to get his first WWE Championship match. Yes, he was gone for a significant amount of time, not in WWE. But then Cain Velasquez comes in and gets instantly a championship match with Brock Lesnar. Sometimes the logic, folks, is just not there. But that's why I think Bobby Lashley could eventually be a very hot babyface. You know, I think MVP and Bobby Lashley are magic right now. Eventually when they turn him babyface, if they do, there is potential there for MVP to talk fans into siding with Lashley. You could really harp on the fact that it took 13 years and he struggled and he's finally getting an opportunity. That's something that people just usually look at it as a positive. They can relate to that, the struggle. You finally get a chance, you know, like, so it's hard not to dislike Bobby from that perspective, because he hasn't ever gotten an opportunity at the WWE Championship, which makes me wonder about this Sunday. It really, really makes me wonder, and I wouldn't necessarily put all of my chips in Drew McIntyre's in the basket of Drew McIntyre, so to speak. It looks like it's trending definitely Drew, or most likely Drew, but there is a case to be made for Bobby Lashley becoming WWE champion. It's in front of nobody, so you don't have to worry about a negative crowd reaction. It's a good time to experiment. Bobby Lashley has certainly got the credentials. There is a case to be made for it. So don't sleep on Bobby Lashley. At the very minimum, I would expect Bobby Lashley to not take a clean pin. If he takes a clean pin, a clean claymore, and Drew walks out retaining, I actually will be kind of annoyed. And yeah, I like Drew as champion. We all struggled and wanted to be watch him be champion, and I think he's done a great job. He feels and looks the part authentically. I would still be upset, because it's right now Bobby Lashley, it's almost like, if you don't do it now, then when? And it's a great time to build up a new heel. Seth's doing his own thing in his group, which I like. But to me, Lashley and Drew work well together, and Drew needs dancing partners. And I think Lashley could definitely continue to be that. And maybe for the next couple of pay-per-views, if Brock Lesnar's not coming back, probably until SummerSlam, you could string this out. And like I said, you could eventually do a triple threat with Brock and Lashley and Drew. Maybe that's reserved for a WrestleMania. Maybe not. But I do eventually see Lashley versus Lesnar. But there's a lot of back-end work to do on Lashley, because of how long and how many years he's been defined as kind of an under, mid to upper card, never really reaching the top guy. So it's possible. And I think ultimately, from the rumors I'm seeing too, that's where they're headed. So, all right, well, that's the Wrestling Nostalgia for this week, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't seen the Battle of the Billionaires, again, it's not going to blow you away as a five-star match, but it's entertaining. You got Austin as the referee, hits a couple of stunners. You got, if you don't like Donald Trump, seeing him get stunned is pretty fun, right? But you've also got Vince McMahon getting his head shaved. You've got a crowd reaction that's 80,000 strong. It's certainly nice to hear that. And so it's just a fun match. It's not going to blow you away. It's not going to be at the top of anybody's list, but it's just a fun match. And I think you'll be, as Sheamus says, are you not entertained? Yeah. One of the worst screams that he does. I mean, it's just silly, but I think you will be. I really think you'll be entertained by this match. It was pretty well executed, even with the botch finish. So, all right. Well, that's it for this week, guys. I'll be back on Saturday with your full Backlash preview and prediction with the co-host. And then, of course, if you like NXT and AEW, look for the reviews coming tomorrow, and a full SmackDown review coming on Saturday as well. So four more shows after this one coming your way to round out the week. And then, of course, Backlash. I wish I could be live tweeting with you guys on Sunday. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case, so I'm kind of bummed about that. But I'll be doing a review show on Monday, Raw Review Tuesday. So normally I don't do Mondays. I only do Mondays when we have a pay-per-view. And lo and behold, we have a pay-per-view on Sunday with Backlash. So I'm also, here's one thing I'll leave this with you guys. Would you like to have a live format? I used to have Blog Talk Radio, and I would do live shows, which means no net for me. I do actually, these shows are pretty heavily edited sometimes. Sometimes I stutter more than normal, or I say something I shouldn't, or there's a lot of editing, I will say that. And so with no net, and you guys can call in, would you like a live format? It would just be a toll-free number I give you guys, and you call in, and you can get on the show, and we can talk live. Would you like that or not? I mean, I'm trying to really weigh my options here. If you guys would like to do a live format, please let me know sooner than later if you'd like to do a live format for future shows. Be very interested to hear. All right. Well, with that being said, guys, hit me up on email at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. If you have a question or comment, you can also send a voicemail to that email. If you want to get on the show, I will play that voicemail on the show. It can be rant, a comment, a question, as long as it's, you know, like 60, 90 seconds max. And head on over to the website at wwepodcast.com, and I'll be working on video. I promise it is something. My website's ready to go with the video. It's just a matter of actually finding time to do it. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll be, as always, talking to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to Patreon.com/WWEPodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time. We'll be right back.